Morning, just all you gotta do is open the Bible and just talk about scriptures, you know.
He said, ooh, you know.
And that's kind of the way it is for me in high tech. I mean, that's the way it is for you in high tech, yeah. So, we got all these Andrews, it's not our pulpit. I mean, everybody has a pulpit. And so his is back there in the high tech stuff, and Steve, you know, the high tech stuff. And so we appreciate them for what they do in communicating, just like the prayer of faith and the rooted, you know, he's got that said. And he done some clicking this morning. I watched him as he's doing that. And so that's his pulpit. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Might give you just a quick update on Guatemala. We had about 60 people in our conference, about 25 couples there. And there's about couples there, pastors and spouses. And we took them to the Puerto San Jose Resort. And we call it Las Conferencias Sobre Descanso, I think that's what he said, the Ministry of Rest. And what I've noticed with the Guatemalan pastors is they don't rest very well. Some of you have that. That's your ministry. Mm-hmm. Some of you rest really well. In fact, if you rest too well, you know what people call you? Lazy, that's right. So be careful about the ministry of rest. But they don't rest well, and because they're always on the go. And I watch Pastor Gregory, their overseer. They have like 13 churches, 3 medical clinics, and a school that's 200 something children. And that's where our youth team went just a few weeks ago and ministered and worked there. So we just took them out to this resort and rest, and we gave them off all day Friday. They were there Friday morning and all day Friday. All that week we required of them Friday was to eat lunch and dinner. You know, that's all we required all day long, and then we started the conference Friday night, and I preached about the ministry of rest and the importance of family. And I hope that you know how important family is. And this is what I believe. When you're on your deathbed and you're looking back, it won't matter how many days you spent at the office or how many days you spent working. What will matter is how much time you spent with your children and grandchildren and so forth. And so that's a message for all of us to say, you know, what are we doing? What are we spending our time? Why do I do what I do on a daily basis? And what am I craving for that? And is it worth it? And so that's kind of what we gave them there. Friday night, Pastor Gregory broke down and cried, and he said, your children, many of your children are still children. He said, mine are grown and gone. And he said, there's times that I just neglected them terribly as I was gone from home, and he just began to cry. And they all surrounded him as their leader and prayed over him. And I think they really received what we had to give them. Kenny talked to him about Moses. Remember when Moses, the great leader, and he was a great man of God, but he gave his time from judging the people from daylight to past dark, and was neglecting Jethro's daughters. And so he gave them that message on Saturday morning. And had a couple up, and it was so cute because he had the couple. He asked for a couple to come up, and he said, "You're going to be Moses, and you'll be Zippor." And so Moses puts his arm around his wife. He said, "Oh no, you're way too busy, Moses." And he puts the lady over here, you know. And he calls the superintendent Gregory, and he gets on to Moses for neglecting his daughter. So it's a great picture that he gave about spending time, and he said, after, you know, there's certain things that you can delegate and certain things that God just never calls you to do. How many in this room, in fact, you say, you know what, I'm a yes person. People need help, I'm just yes, yes, yes. You know? And so yes people have to be very careful because they want to please people, they want to be a help. And probably that's part of your makeup is like the gift of help, the gift of service. And if that's, so it's a natural flow of who you are, but you have to be careful to say, is this what God wants me? So we have to be careful with that in our giving. But that's kind of what we did with them. There was 4 swimming pools there, and we swam in all the pools, and they had hammocks and stuff. And so one of the treats for them was ice cream. They love ice cream, so we'd buy them ice cream every day. And they'd be out there in the pool, swerving ice cream and swimming. It's a beautiful picture. And they said, what was the greatest thing that you experienced during the conferences? He asked us all. And I said, for me, it was the smiles on the faces of the children, the spouses. And a lot of the wives came up and said, you know what, thank you so much. And gave us big hugs and thank yous for bringing the attention to our husbands that they need to rest and pay attention to the family. In fact, one of the things I did Friday night, I had all the husbands get up. And I said, now we're going to be ministering. I want you to go around behind your wife and lay your hands on her shoulders. And I said, now rub. And they began to rub. I said, this is ministry. And the white women was like, more ministry, more ministry. How many women like more ministry like that? Oh, look at all the women. Oh, you just love ministry. Huh? So that was kind of what we did for them. And thank you. Our church gave like $1,500 with other contributions that came in for that conference. So all the needs were met. In fact, we were able to leave them a few hundred dollars to go ahead and establish some businesses. You know, I shared with you, we'd like to start have some capital for startup business in Guatemala. And so they have a screening process. They said they put in place with the superintendent and the pastors because they know these individuals a lot better than we do. And they'll invest a few hundred here, a few hundred there, and we'll keep you informed about what happens on giving this capital to those people. It would work if they just had the startup money. In fact, in Guatemala, maybe in some of the pictures I may have taken, I don't remember, but there's little fruit stands everywhere. You know, that takes a little capital to get fruit stands and get your first purchases made. There's those shoe shine places everywhere. There's, you know, these sort of things. Those tamale stands you can find just planted everywhere. But somebody gave them a start somewhere. And so that's what a lot of this capital will go for. But it's a great trick. Kenny kept saying, Pastor Kenny kept saying, this is good soil. This is good soil. And so all of you that gave for the Guatemala trip, that's good soil. And just look for blessings to come back on your return to your money. If you have your Bible, I'd like to turn with me today. We're going to go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and conclude our rooted series. And I heard Adam gave you a challenge last week and did a great job while he was here. Pray for him if you would. His work has decided he needs to be there on the Sabbath, and he's not very happy about that. And so just pray that would, God would change that for him. He has a great desire to be in the house of God on the Sabbath, and today he's in Colorado. His daughter is up there, and he's getting her situated and settled in. And I hear he's even leaving her his car. Is that correct? Wow. He'll do great work there. Leaving his personal car for his daughter. I think I'm a pretty good dad. I think honey, we'll be praying for you. You get some butt money. You be careful on that bus now, you hear? But anyway, pray for Adam and Austin. I'll be flying back today. Is that correct? Yeah. Everybody have your sword? Ready to learn today? Now, I'm excited about the word. It's a simple word, but it's a good word because it will give us roots and a foundation. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to talk today about rooted in expanding through ministry. Expanding through ministry. And it's amazing to me that God is so involved in our lives. You know, we look at Miss Donna as a kind of a model in children's ministry and as a minister of the gospel for kids. There's no way you can count. You haven't kept record of how many children you've invested your life and had over the years. But can you imagine how many hundreds it would have to be from the time we started Prayer of Faith? Now, were you doing kids ministry before then or no? So that's when it started. But that's like almost 23 years ago. And how many hundreds of kids. And so, and same with you and your ministry. How many people that you've invested your life into over the years but it's amazing to me that how God can be so involved in setting our course for us. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're just kind of drifting along? And sometimes we do because we lose that intimate relationship with Christ. And never underestimate your devotion time, your prayer time, your time of speaking with God because He's always listening. Miss Ray said a few weeks ago, and I think I mentioned this on our Wednesday night Bible study, she said, you know, I told God, I was talking to him one time and said, He said, Ray, when you ask me a question, I always think that would be very rude if I didn't. That's good teaching. God always is, and you ever feel like He's not answering? Well, it's not His talking, it's our listening, I think. And so David said it this way. He said, Thy word is I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, he knew God's will. And if you study the Psalms, you'll find that David's always asking God, what should I do here? Should I go and fight this battle? Or should I stay at home in this battle? I mean, that's a great question to ask. God, is this battle worth fighting? Or should I leave this one alone? Sometimes I think just age kind of helps you in that respect, doesn't it? I used to fight a lot more battles. You know, when I first got my call to preach, I thought it was my calling to line everybody out. And if I thought you didn't have sound doctrine, we're going to strike up a conversation. You know what I mean? Happens like that. If you think somebody don't have sound doctrine, you're ready. You know, I'm going to straighten you out. Well, a lot of them anymore, I think, you're just goofy. There's nothing I can do for you. And probably a lot of people look at me and say the same thing. You're just goofy. There's nothing I can do for you, Pastor. But anyway, it's been a blessing for me to grow past the thinking that my calling is to straighten out people. It's not. I heard one pastor say, he said, I thought my calling was to make everybody happy. He said, then I figured out that's what clowns do, not preachers. And it's a real relief, you know, for him to figure out that, you know, it's not my job as a preacher to make you happy. And so he said, my job is to inform you of the word and give you structures and shepherd you. So, but it's amazing to me how involved God is with our lives. How involved He wants to be if we just listen. If you're here today as a young person, or maybe an older person, and you really don't know what your niche is, and that's what I call it, your niche, God's created you to do, then let me just encourage you to start listening. Read the Word and just start listening. That's how I found out what God wanted me to do here. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would be a pastor when I was growing up. But once I became a Christian, and I really sold out to the Lord at 25 years old, I thought, you know, I would get in the Word, and this is what developed, this is what came out, and this is where I found what my calling was. And I think it's the same for every person that God has created. Just get in the Word, and He'll begin to reveal to you what it is that He wants you to do. Now, a lot of it, what He wants you to do, is just what you're doing right now. Adam, you're being head of your home, you're providing it. And you move to your family to New York, and finally, God says, you need to get back down in God's country, right? And so the cowboy, you know what you're doing? For most of your ministry, your pulpit is your family. That's the greatest ministry you have right now is your family. And it's the same with all dads in here. Regardless of what you're calling, my greatest calling and highest calling is being a husband to my wife, because we became one and nothing shall separate us. And then two, being a dad. And so that's my greatest calling. Like George Bush Senior, whenever he was his term was up at the presidency, I love what he said. They said, well, what are you going to do now that you're retiring? He said, I'm not retiring from the things that I'm called to do. I'm called to be a husband and a dad. I'm still going to be. My main priorities are still intact. But wow, now that's insight. That's wisdom. That says the greatest thing that God's called me to do. In fact, remember a while back we were talking about this. That human beings are really the only living beings that consider unemployment. Birds never talk about being unemployed. Cows never get up and say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do today. We have a little dog, and he's just worthless, but we love him. Little white dog is wiry, and he never gives us that look like, what do you think I'm supposed to do? He knows he's supposed to bite you and lick you and bark at you. And he knows he's supposed to go out in the yard to poop and he's supposed to eat. He's happy. He's just fulfilling his, and he knows that part of his is just to greet us every day with, just a, how you doing? You know, every day he's the same. Every day. And so, humans are the only ones that lose their purpose. No other God's living beings do that. So, God ought to give us a clue that it's us and it's not God. And so if you're not sure what you're supposed to do, maybe today will help you. Let's look at the word in 4:11, Ephesians 4:11. And he himself, this is talking about God, he himself gave some to the apostles. An apostle, we think, is those that lead the head of an organization. Maybe we call them bishops. You know, we use that term. Back in the Free Methodist, our church is an interdenominational church. But a few years ago, I joined up just to have, for me personally, to have a relationship with an organization, an umbrella, with the Free Methodists. And in the Free Methodists, we have three ruling bishops in the United States, and we have some in a lot of other countries, Dominican and Africa and all, but there's three. And then our bishop in the central part of the United States is the head bishop. And when they meet the head bishop, it was asking, what does that mean, David? And he said, I'm not sure. So we think about bishops being, you know, all-knowing, but they're not. This is what they're called to do. They're called to oversee and to lead. And so they had to figure out what the head bishop was. You know, we just had four bishops spread across, and they removed three, and then they weren't even sure what that was. So when we think about this, little unclear thinking, that goes on everywhere. That's everywhere. Our bishop went to Africa a few years ago, and maybe a couple years ago, and he got lost in the airport. And he said it was very scary because it's a dangerous place to begin with. He said, man, I'm just snow white and see a black people, and he said, it scared me. And he had a panic attack. A bishop. I thought, now, I don't know about you, but if my bishop's going to have panic attack, I don't know if I want to travel with my bishop. That's what I told him, you know. And David is just a great guy. And every word, every message that comes out of this, he has to exalt Jesus. I thought that's why he's bishop. He cannot exalt Jesus enough. And if you want to really elevate yourself and be all that you, just to be to elevate Jesus, I say stand over. But he said, you know, and he went to the airport and he lost his luggage, he missed his flight, and here he is, he's all, he's having a panic attack. And he said, this lady comes up to the search, can I help you look? And I guess you can see the fear on his face. And he said, where are you? I've lost my luggage, I don't know what's happening, I'm going to have to fly. She said, come with me and I'll show you. And so she took him up to the front desk, said, he's standing there just a few minutes, and said, this big black guy came out and says, my name is Emmanuel, and I'll help you get where you need to go. He said, I was so distraught, it didn't even click with me, Emmanuel, God with us. Didn't even click, didn't even register. That's how scared he is. And he said, guess what? Emmanuel. He said he came out and he said he had his cell phone number. He gave me his cell phone number. He said, you can reach me here. Neither that. I'll always be here for you. He said, in fact, I'll help you. He said, stay right here. And he went and he gave him a connecting flight and he booked that. He found his luggage. He did everything he needed to do. How many of Emmanuel helped you? And so he helps him, and he gets him on his way. He said, then Emmanuel said to me, he said, are you coming back through this airport? He said, well, yes, sir, I am. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, if you come back through, just ask for Emmanuel, and I'll be here. And I'll be making sure that you get to the home of Emmanuel's life. He said, Emmanuel, how can you speak? God is saying, you know, they're made apostles, and they're overseers, but they have their problems, too. So if you think, once you find your niche, you're not going to have problems, wake up! Because you're going to have problems. All God's children. Many are the afflictions of righteous, but God delivers us out of all. So we're going to have problems. But these are overseers. They're the name we call bishops. Some denominations call them apostles. They're the leaders. They're the ambassadors for Christ. And Greek it says. And then he gave some to the prophets. In your Pentecostal, Assembly of God, some of your apostolic ministries, they still name their prophets prophets. Most of the other denominations do not call a prophet a prophet. And I think a lot of them don't even know they operate in a prophetic gift. One of the things that says when you talk about a prophet is an inspired speaker. I think that's the main thrust of today's prophet. But, however, I do believe they are the prophets in the body that give them a direction of what the Spirit is doing. You know, there's a certain Holy Spirit moving there. And then praise and worship, you know, from hymnals. They lead us into things, really, that's what God is doing. And a lot of them don't call them prophets. They just got a sense about what God wants the body to do and where he's headed and where he's taking the body of Christ and how the changes will occur and those sort of things. And just inspired speakers. They're just, you know, they don't pack their flock, but they'll travel around speaking. And a lot of times we'll have revival and we'll call them evangelists, and that's really not their niche. There's not souls like Billy Graham. When you talk about evangelists, that's who I think of. People like Billy Graham. That man, in fact, Billy Graham is so anointed. I've always made this statement. Billy Graham could preach about 3 points to a doorknob and give an altar call, and people would come. You know, he's just anointed for preaching and bringing people, and that's an evangelist. But the prophet is more about feeding the people, getting them connected back into the direction. Bob Ely, I think, would kind of fit in that inspired speaker. He's not real evangelistic, but then he'll do something for you one day, and he'll give you direction, personal direction for your life and for where you are right now. And just like he did discerning the times when you see your life, remember that? That was powerful. About where we are right now, what God's saying, and where we're headed. And so that's a prophetic kind of gift of those individuals. And Bob has pastored very little. That's just not his calling. Evangelists like Billy Graham and others we mentioned. And some pastors, and these are more like local shepherds. Pastors just can shepherd, that would shepherd a local flock. Some of them, a small flock like this, some of them up to 20,000, 30,000. Different parts of the world, there's churches over 100,000. So this depends on who they are and where they're at. I want to do my master's. I want to do the purpose and the power of the average church. And I believe that God has called all kinds of people to pastor all kinds of, all sizes of churches. And most of them have a theme or two that they play on. I think one of our things here is healing. People come in and they're mentally and emotionally healed and loved right where they are. You know, you guys are really good at that. Just loving people right where they are and saying, what is your niche? And let's help you find a part and serve the body of Christ. I think that's our strong point that we have here at Prayer of Faith. And then, so that's pastors and then teachers. We have teachers throughout the body. Kisha was saying she's a school teacher, but nevertheless, I believe a teacher. And I think any teacher, whether you're teaching school or Bible lessons, or if you're a teacher, I enjoy teachers. Those teachers will impart information, give you knowledge, and they can impart that into you. And then there's some that I call instructors. They just don't have the ability to get it out of here and get it into your heart. It's like they just spurt out, they're just like a little knowledge scout. You know, spurt all this stuff out, but it doesn't get in. There's a difference in between. Most anybody can be an instructor if you got a lesson, an outline, but a teacher is somebody that will give you a challenge, will give, you know, they'll move you somehow. A challenge you somehow. They'll say, that's good. You know, that's something I can chew on. So teachers. And then he says in verse 12, for what? For the equipping of the saints. How many saints is there in the building? Let me see. All the saints, let me see your hand. Well, what are the rest of you? This is a saint. That just means you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You give your heart to Jesus. You're set apart. You're consecrated to the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, how many saints do we have in the building? Come on. Oh, okay, that's better. Just look over to your neighbor and try to say, I am a saint. Some of you, that's really hard. And some of you took a lot of washing to get you there. But when you came to Christ, man, you're a saint. You know, I like what Dwight Thompson used to say. He said, who do you think you are? Some kind of VIP, big shot sinner, Jesus can't cleanse you? Huh? No, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I want you to just know here, he sets these individuals in the body to equip you. You know, we look at saints and we think, oh, he put people like Moses, and he put people like Peter, and he put people like Philip, you know, and all these people we see in the Bible and have reverence for. But no, he put them in the body to equip people just like you. Yesterday I got a call. In fact, Kyle was just dogging me all, Kyle Cobalt was dogging me all weekend. Are we mowing? Is there anybody going to mow the church? It needs to be mowed.
they rocked to 9:20 last night. And I said, well, he called me on the cell phone yesterday. Are we falling? I said, you are. You got more? I got more. I said, well, go low. I can't mow today. Yes. So anyway, and we got plenty. You know, it's my fault. Our mowing person that has left, and you know, Benson's been on charge of that. So I just had to make a calendar. So we just need somebody to get a calendar. We've got plenty of volunteers this year. It's just the poor leadership. So if anybody's got the clerical skills and you'd like to make a calendar for the mowers, see me after church. If you don't, I'm going to start appointing everyone in here to mow. But he called me and says, you know, I said, you can get my, I said, you know, this is all mowed today. He came out and mowed, and I thought, wow, that's excellent. Go Kyle. So, yeah, that's his part. He's a saint, and he's doing his preaching, mowing the grass. You know, the garden. Every time I come, they got something else in the garden out there. You notice that? Got a little watch out there talking about dreaming and stuff, and just giving, now they're getting subliminal messages. I'm looking out for. Be careful, see if we see what's his blessed ball. Get your ball. Get your ball. But you know the sound that we have this morning, praise. All this comes together. They're equipping saints to do what saints do, wherever it is, and never lose sight that the biggest ministry you're doing is family. It never lose sight of that, because there's churches that just wear you out doing the church stuff. And I don't, you know, I'm not ragging on churches. I love all people that claim them as my brother and sister in Christ that profess the name of Jesus. And that's why he's teaching us here in this lesson. But your main priority is your family. When you minister to your family, if you can't minister for the guys, he said, love your wives. And if we could take a poll and say, now, ladies, we're going to take a secret poll and raise your hand if your husband is loving you like he's supposed to, like Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. How many of your wives could raise their hand? You'd want to, right? That's right. You don't die, you can't love them like that. And then he said, and ladies, submit to your husband and respect him. That's why he knew. He knew it'd be hard for you to respect us. Because you say, if you give me an upgrade, I might respect him, but I'm not respecting this one where he is. Is that what God said? What did he say? Submit and respect. And we do the same thing. You know, well, I'm not loving her, she's lovable. And then he says, well, you picked her. You picked her, remember? You just had to have her. Oh, God, please, can I have her? Can I have her? Then you just pray, God, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? That's your main ministry and pre-quipping. And when we get this inside of us and we listen to apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers that are called of God, let me tell you something. It'll make you a better spouse. It'll make you a better mother. It'll make you a better father. It's because this is a part of our equipping process. That's how when I grew in the ministry, when I was really start serving God, I'd turn my radio on, I listened to every preacher I could. And I appreciated all of them. You know, there's the full gospel and the Kenneth Hagins and then there's the Billy Grahams and there's the Chuck Swindolls and Charles Stanley and some people go, I just listen to this one because they're more holy, they're more sound. I listen to all of them. And you can do that if you'll get some word inside you. You can listen to all of them because all of them's got something good to say. But now, if you're not going to get any word inside you, you better be careful who you listen to. Because it talks about that in here, and it talks about people like that, equipping the saints, and then it said not only to equip you, but for the work of ministry. And so you're doing ministry at home, and you're doing ministry at church, you're doing ministry at your workplace. When you go to work, and when you show up, Jesus should show up. Not in preaching you know, and being holier than thou, but in the unconditional love for everybody around you, including the ones that nobody really wants to be around. Because you're different. Because today, you're not ruled by your selfishness. You're dead, as Bill was pointing out here. When you're dead, people can't offend you. If you're, listen, if you're dead, you go to work, somebody's mean to you, that doesn't offend the dead person. You can't offend the dead person. And what we ought to know is this. When somebody says something cruel to us, it shouldn't offend us, we should think this. I wonder what they're going through. Because you can just know, when somebody's cruel to you, they're going through something. I don't care if it's your spouse, being cruel to you. They're going through something. Sometimes what they're going through is an affair. And I've seen people get really ugly going through affairs because you know what? They're way out of God's will. Nothing's going to make them happy. They make another person make them happy. So lost and walking in such darkness. Yeah. But I don't care who it is, when somebody's cruel to you, you just know they're going through something. And that's the way we should look at it. Not, oh, they're picking on me, say this about me. No, we just should know that they're going through something and we need to help them. Because that's what we're called to. That's what ministry is about. When Jesus nailed them, when they nailed Jesus to the cross, remember what he said to them? For God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When the thief on the cross was next to him, he said, this day you'll be in paradise. He's still forgiving people. Wasn't about him, was it? It was about Jesus. And he was dead to self. And he said, what, should I pray that this cup pass? He said, for this hour you have brought me. And he said, so not my will, but thine be done. And he went through what God had him to go through. Sometimes we need to learn, in the going through, God's will is being done. See, we think in the blessing always, God, but sometimes in the going through, God's will is being done. That means you learn a lot from experience. That means you got yourself in a ringer and suddenly you say, I won't do that anymore. Well, that's learned. That's a reflective experience. Somebody said, you know, experience will make you better. No, it will not. I mean, those people have been through a lot of experience and are still as stupid as they ever were. You would think experience would make you smarter. It does not. Reflected and valued experience. When you reflect on it and value that experience, you say, what did I learn? And you reflect on it, that's when it will make you better. What can I change and what can I tweak? It's the work of ministry. For the edifying, for the building up. That word edifying is like architecture. God is putting us together and removing pieces and shoring up things as we study the Word and putting us together so we can walk in power. And not being tossed around. Look at the next verse. Till we all come together, in verse 13. Till we all come together to the unity of faith. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about rooted through grace. And how grace gives us that ability to move around where we are. You know, with all of our faults and failures and flaws. That grace that keeps us together. And how we talked about different denominations believing different things. And how we don't agree and all that kind of stuff. And he's saying here to us, you know what, the unity is about our faith, not about our doctrine. It's a big difference, church. Our unity should be about our faith. Our faith in Christ. Our faith in what Jesus has done for us. How many know we're going to study and we're going to wonder about different things and how and one's going to believe this way and one's going to believe that way and we're never going to come to agreement. Right? We might as well give up on that, on agreeing doctrinally. But he said, you know what? You can have unity in faith that Jesus is Lord. And just simply say this, I'm a Christ follower. Are you? And if you're a Christ follower, then you're my brother, you're my sister, and we'll just come in unity on that. And let that be good enough. Now, if God wants you to have a debate, have a debate. But otherwise, don't fight that battle. Just leave it alone. The unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. That means when you just put all your faith and trust in Him, who Jesus Christ, you've got that shored up in your heart, and you don't have to get saved every Sunday. Some people just get saved every Sunday. Did you notice that?
Get that assurance of who Jesus Christ is. Make that the thing of your life. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God the Son. He's my Savior and Lord, and I belong to Him. He paid my debt, and He paid the price, and I bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey is wonderful. Here's what God's been saying to me. Here's my thing. This is what God's been saying to me. Enjoy the journey, Jack. Because Americans, you know what we do? We stress because we got all of our stuff. And I found out this. If you get too much stuff, you don't have stuff. Stuff has you. Let me just know. My wife went to pool, so guess what she got? A pool. Now, we did get an above ground because she went past some of the in-grounds. That's what I was thinking all along. But, you know, you have to let them come to her customer. When my wife wants something, she wants something. And that's what she wants. So, anyway, she said, you know, I think that's just too hot. We don't have that kind of money. We don't spend that kind of money on the pool. And I'm thinking, yes. Thank you, Jesus. But I didn't say that. See, now there's a difference between thanking Jesus and telling her. It don't matter. She's already got a pool. And so she said, I think you ought to consider an above ground. I said, that is an excellent idea. Dad, you thought of that. So we got an above ground for like a deposit on the ingot. But you know what? It's stuff. And guess what? When you got more stuff, now you got to have chemicals with that thing. You got to have more water. Here's what she said. We sat there the other day, guys, we said 14,600 gallons to fill that pool up. She said, how much is that going to cost us? I thought, well, if you got to ask, should we have a pool? But that's what I'm telling you. You know what I told her? I don't know, but we got to know. We'll pay for it. Because I'm loving her when I'm thinking something else. Is that growth or what? Has she got a pool? Everybody's happy, but we got stuff. Sometimes you got stuff, you got more trouble. That's what you got. And we'll have fun. I know we will on it, but I'm just saying. You know what? Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the treacherous men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Listen, there's all kinds of different doctrines being taught. You just need to know what you believe. You need to study the Word enough that you know what you believe because you've studied it, and this is what God has revealed to you. Now, if it's way out somewhere and everybody in all the denominations are telling you that's goofy, then you might want to take a hint. The clue phone's ringing, pick it up. But if it's agreeing with other Christians and other denominations, whether it's the Lutherans or the Baptists or the Pentecostals, but it's a vein that is being taught by a number of people, then you just identify with that. There are some groups, some churches think their little group is the only one that's going to heaven. Well, aren't they holy? I think that is so sad.
Yeah, amen.
I think it's so sad. Because, listen, we're all gone by the blood of Jesus, not because of what you believe or think. It's who you believe. It's through the power and the grace of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And let's just don't get too holy, because He said, your righteousness is as filthy rag. So let's just say this. You know what? Are you a Christ follower? So am I. Welcome, brother. Welcome, sister. Let's just do that. And know what you know because you've been studying the Word and God's been talking to you. Are you going to be tossed around? For years, when people didn't agree with me, it would offend me. And I'd get all upset about it. You know what that is? That's just insecurity on my part. Anytime you and I get offended at somebody because they disagree with us and we start with all this emotional stuff, that's insecurity. That's all it is. And you need to get past that. Is this too long? I didn't get one amen. Okay, good. Now watch, here he says, but speaking the truth in love. Well, that's one of the most powerful things we can do in ministry. Speaking the truth in love. I mean, those parents, you can even tell your children, I'm going to whip you if you don't stop that. In love.
You can. Because here's what, I'm not with you, you stop that.
That's what some people do. Because you can't say, you're going to get a whipping if you don't stop that now. Even dogs pick up on that stuff, you know. I'll say, Max, no. He knows that I don't need to do that. Whatever he's doing, he might be chewing something, he might be over on, you get on the sand, yes, man. I say, no, get off there. He goes, this? I said, yeah, good boy. okay. See, if I didn't get upset, I just said, no. And then Janet says, no, Max, no. And he just jumped on her and goes, oh, no. That's called turn on means something else. Turn on means, yeah, I'm just loving it, and you're just kidding. But I just don't play that. I just said, no. And when he does it, that's a good boy. See, the underlying thing is, so you can even tell your children, but speaking the truth in love. And then speaking of that, if you wonder why your children don't mind, because one thing, you don't speak the truth, you lie. I'm going to whip you. And you never whip them. All they're hearing is, I'm lying. You don't want to whip you, I tell you all the time. Never be. Aren't you glad you came? Speak the truth in love. Jesus said, you can go to heaven, you can go to hell. And that's the truth.
Amen.
You can reject what Jesus has done for you, and he won't stop you. You hear one of my favorite preachers. You don't go to hell. Give a few reasons. He said, one, there ain't no exits. Number two, he said, Mama said, you never were invited to hell. You were invited. That's the devil and his angels. But you can, because you speak the truth of love. He won't make you serve him. That's what love and worship is about. But you can love him and go to heaven if you want to. Speaking the truth of love, you may grow up in all things. I'm telling you, speaking the truth of love will help you grow up. It'll help me grow up. But speaking, even truth, if it's not spoken in love, it's to no avail, is it? I used to tell people when I was a young Christian, you're going to hell. Well, I didn't want to go, but, the love wasn't there. The message was correct. But, when I get to argue with them and they're not there yet, so they're just loving where they are. I said, you're going to hell. And I was very successful. That's not speaking the truth in love. But when you tell somebody, tears flowing down your face, I'm afraid for your soul, and I don't want you to go to hell. That's harsh. That'll have a different effect on people because they know that's coming from your heart. That's speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Whatever you have to confront, whatever you have to do, speak the truth in love. I just challenge you to do that and make that the center of who you are. And he says, you grow up into all things into Christ as well. And then finally, in verse 16, from whom the whole body, everybody says the whole body. The whole body. Joined and knit together by what? Every single joint in here supplies. That word is like a ligament. It holds our joints together. If that ligament is broken, then you can't. I had a horse one time and he was fighting another horse across the fence and he tore his ligament on his almost in half. It was just barely hanging on. They said he probably never walked straight again because it was the part that pulled that foot up where he walked. And I watched him. When these ligaments are not joined together in the body, that's when we cause weakness. You're either a strength in the body or a weakness in the body because you're a ligament. Every person in here is a ligament. And you're either contributing to the strength of the body or you're hindering the body and crippling the body. Every joint makes growth in the body. And I watched him, his name was Dancer. That was off his papers, and he was out some good blood. And you can tell it when you, because they said he'd probably just compensate to swing his leg, but he never would. I'd watch him stumble and almost fall, and stumble and almost fall until he exercised that ligament until it came back, and they were amazed at the strength back in that ligament. But his name was Dancer. He was out a thick old warrior and a native dancer. He just walked like this. Because he knew this is the way God created you to walk. Don't they? That's the way God created you to walk. Did you know that? That's what God created you to walk. It's part of the body of Christ.
Not in pride, but saying, this is who I am. I'm a part. And my part counts. I want to be tied in. I want to be a part. He says, when you do that, you know what it causes growth. The whole body joined and knit together by which every joint supplies according to the effective work by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. Let me ask you something. If everybody gave to ministry like you did, what would it look like? Would it be powerful? Or would it be very simple? Today I'm going to serve myself. Tomorrow I'll serve God. Today I'm going to throw a fit. Tomorrow I'll repent and I'll act right. He said, when every part doesn't share, that causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself and love. It causes growth in the body. But every part doesn't share. So I was out there yesterday on the board this morning. Really, the whole thing by itself. And dry itself. And it's not your fault, it's a lot of you that have come, but I'm just saying, he's out there showing up what needs to be done. The body of Christ. The family is a part of the body of Christ. How do you know she's part of the body of Christ? Yeah. She's part of the body of Christ out here. He's a normal cowboy person. Now, grab hold of him. You see? And now, if they're doing all their part, look how big the circle is right here. Now, if the enemy comes to push down on work, we got it. Because we're part of the body. We're connected. We're knit together. So if he tries to push her over, it's harder. If he comes to attack you, we got you. It's harder. But if you just out there by yourself, he's going to shove on you, and it's going to be harder. But we're knit together. Every ligament. And so when I can't preach, this is who can preach. And when Kyle can't mow, this is who can mow. You say, Jesus called Jim Rainbow? Yeah. That's pretty clever there, right? Got a hold of it, that's right. We don't volunteer, we're going to push you over, right? We're going to take you out of that person. Yeah. But see what I'm saying? And some of you say, well, I don't mow, I don't treat, I can't mow, okay. Well, you know what you do? Some of you are givers. Come here. See, now they cook and they clean, they done things around here, prayer for years, and now they're retired. Retirement, they're getting old. But you know what? They've been financial support for our church all the time. So when the plans in our circle, she's knit together in the family, it's going to be harder than when you push your church. But you don't get the need. You just give it because that's your part. You just show up and support because this is where you're going. This is the Sabbath, and this is the day the Lord has made. You can come here and worship God. Hear that country preacher saying all the good things, right? Yeah. See, so we're knit together. Never lose your value in the body. Never lose that. You're important. You're important. It's Lord to sit there, she's a singer. You know, I don't sing, she just did. So we're all together. That's what he said. And then we just speak love to one another. Speak love to one another in truth. And watch the body grow. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of the body of Christ. Well, there may be people on the sound of my voice today that says, I really don't know my heart. Just let them know that right where they are, they can just worship you. The number one thing they're going to do is just love God with all their heart, mind, strength, and soul. That's what you created them to do. Just to have fellowship and love you. So if they're doing that, Lord, let them know they're in good shape on the first step. And then God, you said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so just remind us today that we're loving our neighbor, we're giving to our neighbor, and we're meeting needs of our neighbor, and we're loving ourselves. We cannot forget ourselves. That we're doing a lot of your will already. The majority of your will. And so we ask that you just, that little unknown, that little part we say, God, what else is there? Reveal their gift to them. It's a gift of service, gift of health, strength, passion, whatever it is. Sing. Whatever.
whatever their part. I pray that you'll help them to know that every day when they get up, I'm tied to the body of Christ. I am a ligament in the body. And if I'm doing my part and speaking the truth of love, I'm doing ministry every day. I'm ministering to my spouse. I'm ministering to my neighbors. I'm ministering to my co-workers. Through love and the passion of Jesus Christ, I'm doing ministry. I'm doing ministry. And with that, you are well pleased, Lord. So help us to rest in that and enjoy the journey. Just enjoy the journey. Right where we are. In the lessons we learn, in hard times, in the lessons we enjoy, help us to enjoy the journey right where we are. As a part of this awesome body that you've assembled together. Jesus. While Chris is praying, heads are bowed, let me give a call. If you're here today, you need Jesus Christ in your heart. Are you going through something? You sound like a prayer. Jesus said, you hand that while Chris is praying, take the bow, I'd like to pray for you today. Right? Okay. Father, for all these that lifted their hands, I pray for them right now. You see their need. You see where they are. And I ask God that you just begin to speak to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, you have given us your promise that you'll speak. You said, my sheep know my voice. And so you've given me the promise to speak. So I pray that you'll intensify their listening. Help anoint their ears to hear and their mind to receive. As they begin to call on you, say, God, what would you have me do in this situation? What would you have me do here? How would you have me ask and react? What would you have me pursue? I ask you to begin to speak to them and give them clarity and direction. And begin to bless them. They're a part of the body of Christ. They're tied together and committed. So we ask you to help them in their struggles, right? All of this in Jesus' name. God, we're looking for a good report to come back and meet you. Give them peace right now, passes up the day. Open their eyes to situations and things that they need to see and know and hear. So they can receive clarity of where they are right now. Peace that passes understanding. Give them knowledge and wisdom that they need. They're asking God, they lift in their hands. They're asking, you said, if you ask, you shall receive. So thank you for your promise of them receiving. Now would you just receive that by faith in Jesus' name? And just don't quit asking, don't quit talking until you hear me. Now, Father, we ask you to bless our food and our fellowship today as we come and have a cookout for you. We're going to enjoy fellowship, food, and time together. We ask you to bless that. For all that didn't bring today, if they'll stay, just let them know that there are guests today and they're welcome to stay. Feast at your table. We have plenty. We ask you to help them stay with us today. All that can. Bless our food and our fellowship. We ask in Jesus' name. If you're a first-time visitor, I'd like to get you out over here and got a little view for you. God bless you and save your cookout if you can.